wandering through the questions that were brought up back in the March-April time frame for the eldership. And I had that list at home this morning, the whole entire list from back then. The new, I shouldn't say new, but the consolidated list of questions that I will be going over on your list, if you have that. Question 5, which is what is, I'll start with 3. How can we know if these men and their wives can hold confidentiality? Question 5, which is what is the elder's wife's role? And what role does the reputation of the elder's wife have? And those two are kind of lumped together because they're very similar. Pretty much you answer one, I think you'll answer the other. And then I also have question 12. What is the congregation's responsibility to the elders? And what is the role of the congregation towards elders? I think those two questions, again, are, if not the same, very, very similar and can be answered together. This morning we're going to start with the question 3, if you have your list in front of you. How can we know if these men and their wives can hold confidentiality? And looking at this, and looking at it some more, and then digging deeper and looking at it even more, wow, how do you know? I'd like to start with Psalm 118, verse 8. Psalms 118, verse 8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. And yet we're told to take refuge in the Lord, that we don't put our trust in man. So where am I going with this? With elders? Do we not trust our elders? No, we are to trust our elders. They're our spiritual advisors. They are our godly advisors. However, man is only as good as his heart. You can't see man's heart. So you truly don't know 100% what's in a person's heart. If we go to Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to start in verse 22. As many of you know, this is the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Those that are selected, nominated, if you will, appointed as elders, if you can't see the fruits of the Spirit in them, do you really think you're going to be able to trust them too much on the outside anyway? Truly, they should be showing and exhibiting fruits of the Spirit, instilling that confidence in members of the congregation around. With that being said, each and every one of us in this room right now should always show fruits of the Spirit. Every single one of us. 1 Timothy has qualities of elders. Every single one of us in here is to exhibit those qualities as well. Not just elders, but every single one of us in here. So fruits of the Spirit. So how do you know if an elder has fruits of the Spirit? Not only by seeing them, but I think by building relationships. Again, we talk about relationships, and I think David kind of had some relationship stuff going on with his stuff as well. And I think that's key to a congregation is relationships. Not only from the elder to the members to the elders as well. That's a two-way street. It's not a one-way street. We have to develop those relationships together. Why, Ann, did you have something?
Yeah, I think it's important too that we don't sit back and be critical. Oh, well, he wasn't patient today, or oh, well, he wasn't supposed to do it today. Bad days. One day you might be more patient, one day the next day you might be more
agree. That's key. That's very key. I hate to use the word we're all human, but we are. And even as elders, an elder can have that down day. Hopefully you don't catch them in there and down that lull and just kick them while they're down. But an elder is just like a member of the congregation. They're going to have their times of, defeat. But they're going to bounce back up just like the rest of us. Bonnie?
When thinking about any person, you have a relationship with them, and you learn their underlying characteristics. Okay? Here's 15, that's what we call the handle. The leader's underlying character is that he is kind, he does care what the authority says, does he have moments of disobedience to the client? You betcha. Okay? But his underlying character is not malicious. And therefore, when we deal with anybody, if after you have taken the time to get to know somebody, we should be in touch with their underlying character. Because everybody's going to have Mondays.
And step deep in a Monday. Okay. And I want to stop here real quick. Hopefully today, I'm hoping to be done by next Sunday. But Jeff Beck is going, yes, you will be. Well, and that's my intent. I encourage feedback. I really do. This is not a me to you and this is the that and so on. But I feel we are all going to learn more from input more than just from me. So please don't hold back with any comments in that. Raise your hand, I'll get you and we'll go on. So yes, Buckley?
I have a question. Do you feel that
we're getting there. Keep that question. I'm building up to that. Yes, Steve. Okay. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I want to kind of build up to that, and we'll be there in just a moment. So we have those relationships that we need to build both ways. Proverbs 16. And I have those all marked so I can get to them quickly. 16:28. Proverbs 16:28. So we have the fruits of the Spirit that exhibit good things in a person. Proverbs 16:28. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. We don't need a gossip as an elder. Definitely. So that keeping that confidentiality, they're not going to hear something from you and then go to whoever else and say, oh, hey, did you hear, so-and-so, they've got this going on and what, yada, yada, yada. That breaks those relationships that we're trying to build. We're trying to hold each other up. And gossip breaks those relationships. There's no place for it. And that includes so much more as an elder. I know Jeff can allude to this with a preacher client, so to speak, or preacher member of confidentiality as well, that he hears things. He hears a lot of stuff that he has to keep. And it eats at him. But that's him and God. And that's where he has to go with those things. And same way with an eldership. And I'm going to allude a little more on that keeping that there. Cope?
Well, I was saying to you what Proverbs 17:9.
Okay.
He who covers a transgression is in blood, but he who keeps the matter separates the two of them.
Okay. Anyone else so far? there's not a lot that... Oh, Jeff, I'm sorry.
I may have close to the fact that you said earlier on, but when you look at these attributes for an elder, the same thing that applies to me applies to his wife. Yeah. And we don't need to lose sight of that. You know, as much as these attributes that we speak about could be qualified a man to serve as an elder, with those attributes in his wife, they could also disqualify him.
And interestingly enough, the question five that I have, what is the elder's wife's role? Believe it or not, this confidentiality and that question kind of go together. That's surprisingly enough how that worked out. Not planned, but it's working out that way. Trust and faith that the elders will keep their confidentiality. That's really what it comes down to. If you build those relationships both ways, with the elder to the member and member to the elder, you're going to build that trust and faith that elder is going to keep, the elders are going to keep confidentiality. Trust is what it comes to. James 5:16. So now you see, building those relationships and seeing fruits of the Spirit, the qualities of an elder, building the relationships with that elder. James 5:16 tells us, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Your elders are spiritual advisors. That's what they're here for. To keep the flock safe. So hopefully you have that trust in the elder to go to them and say, look, I've got stuff going on. We'll pray for you. The eldership will pray for you. Now, let's see here. Yeah, I'll get to that in just a moment. Mark, did you have something?
I did.
And by doing so, it's not giving the person the right to blab elsewhere. That's gossip. There is no room for gossip. None whatsoever. That destroys the relationships and can destroy a congregation very, very quickly. What I was going to say, or allude to here, was I feel that the eldership, they work as a team. So, talking to one person, one of the elders, I see an eldership working as a team together for the benefit of the whole entire flock, every member. And coming to just one person can be effective, very helpful, but if that elder confers with another elder, that confidentiality stays within that eldership of what's going on. But two heads or three heads are a lot of times better than one. And it can really benefit you if the eldership as a team is working together for you. With that being said, in reading James 5:16, Christ has made it possible for us to go directly to God for forgiveness. But confessing our sins to each other still has an important place in the life of the church. First of all, if we've sinned against an individual, we need to ask him or her to forgive us. Now, if you know you sinned against somebody, then go to them and say, hey, look, I feel bad about this. Please forgive me. And it's up to them to forgive you. you're doing your part by going to them. Of course, you may not know that you've sinned against somebody, so if a brother or sister comes to you and says, hey, look, you did this, and it offended me or bothered me or something. They're bringing something to you that you may not be aware of, and so, you know, you need to ask for forgiveness there. If our sin has affected the church, we must confess it publicly. So if you've done something against the church knowingly, you need to do what you feel is right. You can take care of that. If we need loving support as we struggle with a sin, we should confess that sin to those who are able to provide that support. And here's where I come to the eldership team, if you will. That's what an eldership is for, is that support chain for your spirituality. To help you continue to grow, to help each other grow. And so as an eldership, let's sit down and pray about that. And in my nursing mind, nursing world, get a plan of care together, if you will. I mean, lack of a better term, that's how I understand it. But get a plan of care together for you to heal spiritually, to get you spiritually healed. Have any other comments? I mean, you're not confined to here, because we are all, not just Warrensburg, Clinton, communities around that have churches. And if you have an eldership that you trust, even from Oklahoma, you know. Yeah, Oklahoma, right? Yeah. You know, seek spiritual advisement. And I saw a couple of hands, David.
Having more than one because of the balance that they
as a team, you know, they sort of do it well. And I think one of the toughest things for me, and things that you've gone and worked, is to build that trust with others. And that's why I think every one of them are responsible for those characteristics. You know, so people can know you as, like you said, just as an underlying person or quite because otherwise, you know, you don't want to tell somebody our truth if you don't feel comfortable with it, you know, as far as, you know, because if you truly feel bad about it, I think for myself, for example, I think you're on the worst person in the world, you know, and yet you may find that talking to somebody is important.
Sure. Jeff, did you have some?
No, I wanted to echo what David's talking about, but I thought that was a confidentiality relationship with the spouse. And, you know, I have lost confidence in Ida's ability to be confidential, and she's not a gossip, you know, and I don't even question that. And many times, I was willing to share with her what's going on. But I reserve the right for everybody to know that people speak to me. I have the right to share that with my wife. And there are times that it's very, very appropriate for me to share with her what's going on, because there's things that she can do to my wife that I would not be able to do. She can open doors and she can talk to certain people that I can't. And so I think that same relationship happens.
Sure.
I totally agree with what David was saying. That I don't, as a rule of thumb, I don't share everything. I hear stuff, you know. And sometimes I get in trouble with that. It's still different. I still say, if you don't listen, listen. I'll say, like a fool, I'll say, yes.
Everybody at ease, because and it cuts out all questions on anything with that, because Jeff has said that I know that David has said that as he was a shepherd, he would not go to a female's house without Bonnie. Period. End of that discussion. Bonnie's coming with me. Or another shepherd. So that there is another person there, so that there is no question of what is going on or what has happened. And so, you know, as a courtesy, and Jeff does that, hey, you know, Ida's going to come along with me if that's okay. And we have to respect that thing there because of today's society, unfortunately. But that's where we are. But it's a safe thing for everybody. Now, we're talking about the confidentiality. I looked around at some articles by some shepherds or what are they called? Church leaders, so to speak. First one I found was by Eddie Lowen, called Ministry Confidential. And it's kind of going to where Buckley's question earlier, and some of our comments are kind of going to this confidentiality. A question brought up, and Jeff has probably heard this question more times than not. Johnny, I don't know if you've heard, you probably have heard this. Can I speak to you confidentially? What is the reply for that question? Too quickly to not paint yourself in the corner, of course you can. Now you're bound. A lot of the articles that I found by a lot of the spiritual leaders, they don't paint themselves in a corner. What they put out is, unless you tell me something that I have an obligation to share with someone else, we can speak confidentially. As an elder, we have a responsibility for the flock, the entire flock. Okay? So if what you tell, and I'll use myself, as what you tell me as an elder, what you tell David as an elder, what you tell Johnny or Jeff, if it's going to affect the flock, then it's going to go beyond you and me. For the safety and spiritual well-being of the flock. Precisely. No, that stuff happens more than we like to think it does. Mark can probably test that with insurance purposes as far as sexual misconduct policies through insurance. Churches are almost required, if not they are, required to have some sort of policy in place for things like that. So Buckley, am I answering your question that you had earlier? I mean, should an elder talk to his wife about stuff? I agree. And that's what we've We've asked everybody to pray about this process since March or April. Since March or April, about actually the Holy Spirit appointing the elders. Jump into hypothetical stuff too much, but these are good examples for what you're saying there. And a lot of times, you know, in your instance, Renee, that a woman's perspective on that is we're men. We don't have a woman's perspective, so to speak. Holy cow. All right, I think whoo, 20 hands up. Okay, I got YN. Already showing exactly. That you should already see that now.
Exactly. I also believe that God made us as healthy. And my husband was going to be an elder, and somebody came to him with something that was a burden on his heart, he comes to me and tells me, I can help you. That lays a burden on me, I'm sure somebody else. But he can also present it in a way as someone gave me this message and me. Being in the military, there were things that George went through that he confided in me.
Donna's arm's about to fall off back there. Bless your heart. Go ahead.
Okay. But then if you don't tell names,
Sure. Kay, I think you had your hand up. Discretion, prayer, Shirley. How you gonna know?